In Genesis 27, we've talked about Jacob and Esau and how that Esau stole the blessing and stole the birthright or bought the birthright. Esau sold his birthright. And now we come to chapter 27, and Isaac makes a statement. It says, "It came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said to him, 'My son?' He said unto him, 'Behold, here am I.' And Isaac said, 'Behold, now I'm old, and I know not the day of my death.'" Well, we need to remember that, don't we? There was a funeral today in Thomasville for a 25-year-old. Killed in a motorcycle crash. He was in ICU for a little while. But he didn't expect to die at 25. His family didn't expect him to die at 25. You know, sometimes we get sick and we think, you know, wow, this is near death. We think we might die from whatever it is we get. We think sometimes by age, you know, by right we should go. And Lord had only promised us this many years and here we are still standing. And thank God for that, right? But we don't know when we're going to die. And so as I remind everybody, and you know this, I'm not teaching you when I tell you this, but we need to be prepared. We don't know when we're going to die. And so we need to have things in order. We need to have especially our salvation in order. We need to know that God's forgiven us and washed our sins away. We need to know that. Not think that, know that. We need not to depend on church membership or baptism to save us. It won't save us. Only the blood of Jesus saves us. And we need to make sure our loved ones know that too. Because here's the thing. Not only is it important for us to know we're saved, but we want them to be saved. And so if you're the only minister, the only one in your family that's willing to talk to people about Jesus, then you need to talk to your family about Jesus and make sure they're saved. And that way there's no question. And not just that, but tell other people that they're saved. How many of us had somebody pass away and we weren't sure if they were born again? And we said, "Oh, can you talk to them? Can you go to them?" And then maybe it was too late. And I know I've gone to funerals and at the funeral been told, "Well, he was saved when he was a child. He was saved when he was a teenager. He was saved when he was in the service." And all these years, I never knew they were saved, but somebody did remember when they got saved. And that's important. And we need to deal with it because we don't know when we're going to die. In verses 3 and 4, Isaac planned a celebration for Esau's blessing. He wanted to have a celebration dinner. He knew he was going to die. And so he said, "Well, if I could just eat some of that good meat that you cook." In verse number 3, "Take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out in the field and take some venison. Make me a savory meat such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." You know, in verses 5 through 17, we find out that Rebekah was listening. She was eavesdropping, and she heard what was said, and there was a problem. Now look, we love our children, and I guess sometimes it's hard not to have favorites, but we ought to love our children equally. And we ought to want opportunities for all of our children, and we ought to care about all of them and not try to give one an advantage over the other. But Rebekah wasn't that way. She went to Jacob, and she says, "Look, I found out something that will help you. I want you to go get a goat, and I want you to bring it back in here to me, clean it, and I'll show you how to cook it. We'll get it cooked up real good, and we'll give it to your father, and he won't know the difference between goat meat and deer meat. Let's just get it taken care of, and your dad won't know the difference because there's a lot at stake, and your brother's about to get the blessing from the father, and you can get the blessing instead." And so Jacob deceived and lied to Isaac and did what his mother told him to do. In verses 18 through 25, Jacob came in there, and he put on, you know, the goat skin. And so you can imagine being that hairy that when his father felt his hands and felt goat skin, he said, "That's it. I mean, look at this right here." And so he touched his hands. He said, "Yeah, that's a hairy boy of mine. That must be you." And he smelled him, and he smelled like the woods, and he smelled like an old goat. And he said, "Yep, that's Esau." And he believed it. He couldn't see well enough. And the voice, he said, "This is the voice of Jacob, but it's the smell and it's the feel of Esau." And not only that, but he started eating that and he said, "Oh, that's it. That's the stuff." Why? Because Rebekah knew how he liked it cooked. And Rebekah had been part of this and conspired with and brought Jacob into it. Jacob wasn't even thinking about it until she conspired. And then you go to verse number 26, and we're going to read all of this here. His father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." He came near and he kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So this is the blessing that he prayed, and this is powerful. We need to think about this when we're talking to our children, when we're talking to people. It matters how we talk to people. When we call them dumb or stupid or ugly or lazy, what we're doing is we're speaking that into their lives. And I know you say, well, preacher, we're not a naming and claiming kind of crowd. We don't believe that that matters. It matters. It matters when we tell them they're beautiful and they're smart and they're talented and they're active and all of these things. We need to tell them those things, and we need to encourage that kind of an activity instead of just calling them lazy and no good, because that sticks in their minds. We know that Jacob was a man of the house. He liked to stay around the house and close to his mama's apron. And he liked to be around and he liked to sit around and play video games and watch TV and eat Cheetos and all that kind of stuff. Esau, boy, he was out in the field and he was hiding and crawling, doing army crawls on his belly and climbing trees and all that kind of... You remember that story Jerry Clower told about that souped up wildcat up there? Esau was that kind of guy to hang his toenails and climb the tree. I mean, he was active. He was busy. He was always doing something. And his father saw the difference in him. Well, of course, we know that God had said that the older would serve the younger. We already know that. There's already part of God's plan. And so what Rebecca did played into that. But let me tell you something. God can do it without our deceit. God can do it without our lies. God can do it without our sin. Don't ever think that God made you sin. He doesn't do that. You say, well, the devil made me do it. That doesn't work either. It may have had heavy influence. But we are the ones who sin. We are the ones who make the decision to defy God and offend God. And God could have worked all this out without Rebekah's deceit, without Jacob's conspiring. And Isaac stood in there and he prayed and he blessed him. And he spoke life and favor and victory into his life. Oh, we ought to do that. Man, we ought to do that. Look at the things that are positive in people's lives and bless people. Remember, as he blessed Jacob, Jacob was renamed Israel. This is the blessing upon Israel. Remember, God blessed Abraham. Abraham blessed Isaac, and now Isaac blesses Jacob. And it passes down that way, and we'll see that continuing. And that's what's important about this survey, is that we remember the line that we're on so we can get all of the information. In verse number 30, it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made an end of the blessing of Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father. Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory meat, brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father arise, eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isn't that something? You see that? He said, I'm ready for my blessing, Daddy. So Sonia brought up this morning in Sunday school about how much time it takes. Remember when Rebecca said, son, go out and get a kid out of the yard and bring him in? That takes time. All that cleaning, all that separating, and then finding just the right cut of meat, putting it in that pot, and putting all the flavorings and herbs and maybe vegetables, potatoes, whatever it might have been in there with it, takes time. So we don't see how long it was, but she jumped the gun and she got it going. And Esau had been out there. He finally found something worthy of harvesting. He brought it back and he had to clean it. He had to butcher it. He had to find the right cut of meat. He had to get the herbs and the spices and the soup and all that kind of stuff. And he put it all together. And don't you imagine he took a lot of time to give a good presentation to his father. He came in there with his heart full. Came in there full of excitement. And just like that, the rug was pulled out from underneath them. Just like that. Guys, we face those things in our lives. We have those moments in our lives and it's devastating. It breaks our heart and it may even break our minds and break our spirits. And we see what Esau is going through here. In verse number 32, Isaac, his father, said, who art thou? He said, I'm thy firstborn son, Esau. And Isaac trembled. You see, not only was it heartbreaking to Esau, it was heartbreaking to Isaac. Because Isaac felt like he had been betrayed. Where is he that had taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. It's done. What I have spoken on him, I can't take back. And isn't that good to know? I think sometimes what we say we'd like to be able to take back, but you can't take it back once you've said it. It doesn't matter if it was said in love or said in hate. If it was said in anger, if it was said as a reaction. You know, that's why it's so important for us to be balanced. It's also important for us to keep our minds and our hearts right, because what we'll do in the spur of the moment as a reaction reveals who we really are. It reveals our character. And so in that moment, Isaac says, what I did, I can't take back. Verse 34, Esau heard the words of his father and cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, oh my father. He said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And Esau said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. He sold him his birthright. Behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father, just something, some little bit? Bless me even also, oh my father. Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And so we see Esau is just absolutely beside himself. Has anything changed? Doesn't he still live there? Doesn't he still eat from the same table? Doesn't he still have his skill to go out into the woods and to harvest wildlife and bring them back and cook it? Nothing's really changed, but his impression has changed. Nothing's really changed except what he was anticipating, what he was dreaming of, what he was hoping for has now all been taken away. See, because he thought he would be the one over all of it. And Isaac had quite an empire. Don't forget, he had an enterprise, just as Abraham had, and it was left to Isaac. Who picked up in verse number 39, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, I want you to see this. This is so important. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven from above. By thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. In other words, Esau, don't quit. Don't quit. You got to work. Esau, nothing's changed. Go out there and do your thing. Go out there and work hard. Somebody said, fight like you're the third monkey trying to get on the ark. I mean, it's life or death. You got to make it. You got to survive and you got to get there. And so he says, Esau, you just got to win. You got to go and you got to do whatever you can. And that's how we have to do it. We can't just lay down and expect somebody to give it to us. Projection from the government that we're going to take care of you, and I sure wish they'd get rid of that. It's still lingering up there in D.C. and even in the states. We need to get rid of this idea that the government's going to take care of us. Those of you who are receiving benefits, you paid those benefits. Those benefits were paid ahead for you. I'm not talking about that. They say entitlement. Well, you're entitled to that because it's yours. You paid for it. That insurance that you put aside all that time in retirement, even if it's a government check, you already put in for that. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about people who haven't earned it, getting it, and expecting the government to take care of them. And so we can't expect anybody else to take care of us. You're waiting on somebody to die so you can receive their inheritance. Stop it. Earn your way. And I've seen people do that, and it just irritates me. I just hate to see people expecting a windfall. I remember my dad. Dad was kind of a money guy. He liked money. He didn't have any, but he liked it. And so he said, well, you need to get an insurance policy. I said, for what? He said, you need life insurance because I'm going to die and you can get some money. I said, Dad, I don't need life insurance. I don't need it, Dad. God's taking care of me. I work. I earn my way. I'm not looking for some free money, some windfall from somewhere. And look, that's not the idea. That's not the plan. The plan is to earn your way. What did Isaac tell Esau? Earn your way, son. Nothing's changed. Go out there and work. Because one day, you'll have a great empire. And you know what? You'll look at what you've got and you won't need what Isaac's got. That's what I want. I want to be favored and blessed and achieved so that I don't have to want what somebody else has. I don't have to covet what somebody else has earned. I want to go my way and earn my way. Of course, God's way, yes. But I want to do it on my own. Not somebody else to do it for me. And that's what Isaac was telling Esau. Well, verse 41, Esau decides, as soon as dad's gone, I'm going to kill that boy. Was he mad? Yeah, he was mad. Don't answer this, but have you ever been that mad? I mean, he was a little mad, wasn't he? Josh said he was just a little bit mad. He was mad. He said, as soon as dad's gone, I'm going to kill him. And of course, again, Rebekah was listening. Rebekah knew how angry Esau was, and she went and got Jacob and said, Jacob, you got to get out of here. Well, what do you mean? I just inherited all this. This is all mine now. It's not going to do you any good because you're going to be dead. You see how that works? That's tragic, isn't it? By the way, and I know I'm skipping ahead, but look at what Jacob did. Jacob went to another land, and we'll get to that in just a second. But he went to another land, and he worked. And he worked so he could get a wife, right? He was going to work, I'll work for this wife. And then he got the wrong wife. And he said, well, if you work some more, you'll get the other wife. And so he worked some more, and he got the other wife. But in the meantime, what he was doing was he was building an empire of his own. It wasn't about what Isaac left to either one of them. It wasn't about an inheritance. It was about what they were willing to do and how they were willing to work, what they were willing to earn. And that's what Jacob did, just like Esau did. And as Jacob came back, remember he had wrestled with God and he was limping. And somebody came to him and said, your brother's waiting for you. And all of a sudden, he said, oh man, what am I going to do now? He got all of his family, lined his family up and his stock and all of his herds and everything. He made them go in front of him, and it was just a parade. It was just a parade of people and animals and treasures and belongings as they traveled back to Canaan. And here come Jacob in the end. And he saw Esau, and he said, Esau, all that stuff you saw, you can have. And Esau said, Jacob, I don't need your money. I got all my own. Man, I'm happy to see you. I don't hold any grudge against you, any hard feelings. That's all water under the bridge. It's over with. Don't worry about it. We're both blessed. You see, Jacob had earned his way. It was better for him to earn his way. Esau had earned his way, and it was better for him to earn his way. I have a feeling if Jacob had stayed around the house and just inherited what Isaac left him, it would have ruined him. I don't know that. But that's my suspicion. Rebekah said, Jacob, I want you to go up and I want you to flee to Paran. I want you to go up there. And then she went to Isaac and she said, Isaac, I'm going to send Jacob away because he needs a wife and I don't want to marry a woman around here. And Isaac called Jacob in and prayed a blessing over him. Going on to chapter 28. Verse 2, arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob. He went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah's, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence, that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And then Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan-Aram. Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael and took wives. And took unto the wives which he had Maaloth, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. What happened? Esau married a woman to spite his parents. That happens, doesn't it? It happens. We see it all the time. It's so important. I know that most everybody in here is beyond having teenagers at home, but as grandparents and as giving advice to other people who have teenagers growing up around you, we need to make sure that we are careful about the wives and the husbands they choose. We need to have influence. You know, I learned a long time ago that one of the best ways you can get rid of a fella that your daughter's dating is to friend him. To befriend him, take him fishing, and be his buddy. And she won't want anything to do with him. Isn't that crazy the way it works? And the same way, vice versa, with a girlfriend. But when you take a stand and you tell them you can't date them, now all you've done is challenged them. And so we got to be careful and we got to be wise about the way we do those things. And of course we have to be in prayer about those things. But we see that Esau chose, and I thought it was interesting. I've got a note in my study Bible. It's not in this Bible, but I've got a note written to that. Esau went to Ishmael. Can you imagine the conversation they had? Can you imagine the conversation they had? Remember Ishmael, Abraham's other son. Isaac's brother, who had been pushed away, sent away. Now, God had given a blessing to Ishmael. But now, as Esau goes to him, I imagine they both kind of sat around and said, yeah, that family's just messed up, man. They did me the same way. They pushed me away too. But Esau ends up marrying one of those women to spite his family. And then in verses 10 through 22, we see Jacob's dream. In verse number 12, we see that ladder that we hear about, Jacob's ladder. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So he had a vision, not only of angels, but the voice of God speaking to him. God standing at the top of that ladder, speaking to him, blessing him. He had the blessing of his father. Now he has the blessing of God. Incredible. Incredible experience. God blessed Jacob. In verse number 16, this phrase, I think we ought to be mindful of it. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. It reminds me of the other phrase that Samson said. It said, the Lord departed him, and he knew it not. We got to be mindful of God's presence. We need to know God's presence in our lives. Is he here? Is he gone? Is that anointing of God? Is God in this, or is he gone? Is God doing something, or is he gone? Jacob said God was here, and I didn't even know it. You know why? Because Jacob was not a spiritual person. Jacob was not spiritually minded. We need to be spiritually minded. It needs to always be in our consciousness that God is with us. That He's walking with us, that He's mindful of us, that He's listening to us, that He's watching over us, the Holy Spirit in us, speaking to us, coaching us, guiding us. And we get that gut feeling, we need to trust it. Trust the Holy Spirit as He guides us. The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. You know what Jacob had there? It's called an awakening. An awakening. From that point forward, we find that Jacob is mindful of God's presence. From that point forward, something changed. I appreciate what Sister Tammy said this morning. 11 years ago today, she gave her life to Jesus. 11 years ago today. Think about how different it's been for you since you gave your life to Jesus. Since you got saved, He washed your sins away. How different has it been? I tell you, it's a great life to walk with God, to be awakened to His presence. In verse 17 and 18, Jacob woke up and he poured oil over the rocks. He piled some rocks on top of each other, made a little landmark, a little memorial, and he poured the oil. It's called a poured offering. And he poured that out. Remember again, David, as his mighty men, he was at battle and he said, oh, I wish I could drink from that water, from the well at Bethlehem. And they went to Bethlehem and they drew out of that well. They went right through the garrison, right to the among the enemies. And they got that water and they brought that water back to King David. And they said, King, you said you wanted some of that water? We got you some. Oh, what a blessing to have people that love us that much. To have people that care about what we care about that much. And what did David do? He took that water and he poured it out. He said, I'll not have you hazarding your life for my desires. He poured it out to God. It was a poured offering. Gratitude, thankful that God had looked on him and given him the favor of having people around him that cared about his desires. In verse number 20, and I want to read this, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He put God to the test. He said, I want to prove God. He said, I'm going to try it. I don't believe in telling people to try it. I believe in telling people to give in, surrender, and commit, and give it all to the Lord. But let me tell you something, if you'll try it, it'll work. If you'll ask God's forgiveness, He'll wash your sins away. If you'll commit to walk in His steps, walk in His path, He'll bless you. He'll honor that. And Jacob said, God, if you'll go with me, I'll go. If you'll bless me, then you'll be my God and I'll worship you. And then we see in verse number 22, he set a stone. He said, which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth, a tithe unto thee. And as we study and we look, there are a lot of things in there that are familiar to a lot of us, but it's not familiar to everybody. And so I think it's good for us to study line upon line and walk these steps again through the Bible. Let's stand.